We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Wednesday! It's going to be sunny and hot today. Yay. what did we get? 8 minutes of rain yesterday? Intense 8 minutes of rain yesterday.
Thanks a lot, Mayor.
Just enough to make the road look weird. D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. He joins us now by phone. Hey, Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Good to have you. A couple of things I want to make sure that we get to with you. One is next week's city council agenda, you guys are going to have a conversation about the active transportation plan. I will tell you, I have not read it. This is one of the big, long reports that I have not had a chance to read yet. So maybe tell people like what this is all about, what you're trying to accomplish, and maybe some of the key takeaway. I mean, I know what I understand the ATP to be trying to accomplish, but, you know, this is more your baby, so maybe you help people understand it.
Yeah, and really, as a matter of fact, I'm pretty aligned with these types of tactics philosophically, but this was a process that was funded by council prior to my administration. So about, somewhere in the high ones, maybe a little north south of $200,000, all-city study on active transportation, and that's let's assess where we are in bikeability, walkability, where are our greatest areas of need. You know, you're overlaying traffic crash data, bicyclist crash data, et cetera. So, but it's a holistic look at the city. It's not necessarily just one zip code or one council district. It's one for the entire city of Pensacola. So I've read through it, and it identifies, you know, areas that are in a greater need than others. And so it's definitely an interesting document. I mean, and certainly valuable to have as you start to make decisions about sidewalks, about if there's going to be road diets, if there's going to be bike lanes, et cetera. So, and really, considering some of the ones they're working on right now that I have a really big focus on, namely Bayfront Parkway, is considered one of the greatest needs. So coincidental, but, you know, we had a pretty good hunch that trying to connect people along Bayfront Parkway right now would be one of the bigger needs. So we'll use that as a guiding document for us moving ahead.
Yeah, when you say identified needs, and again, I apologize, I haven't read the study yet, but it seems like if you looked at any traffic/pedestrian, bicycle, you know, any area of infrastructure in the city or anywhere in the United States, you could find problems depending on which value set you bring to the data you're looking at. And so what I'm wondering is, when they identify a problem, quote unquote, what are the kinds of problems that they're looking at? I assume it's not just safety issues, but it's traffic flow and it's accommodating pedestrians and it's kind of all of that. Is that right?
Correct. Again, you're looking at historical data where there's been traffic, bicyclist, pedestrian accidents, hit and runs, which means, you know, typically you're seeing more activity there. Unfortunately, that also means that there's more people walking there. I think you look at some of the census tracts as well, in terms of who are people that are walking and biking to work, you know, where it's their primary mode of transportation as opposed to a car, area, things like that. So there's a lot of different, it's a robust document. There's a lot of different overlays as to, you know, to your point, there might be, you know, there's one page that kind of addresses this and where the need is across the city. And then, you know, and then you kind of cross tabs with some other things as well. So, you'll have to, dig into it, but it's a wealth of information. And so it does not come back with just a clear two-step, three-step thing, right? Do this. It identifies the greater areas of need. Not necessarily that one is higher than the other, but again, it gives you some action steps and makes you at least have some confidence if you're going to be investing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars into a project or asking FDOT to do so, that you're doing it in a place that, that would have need.
Okay, so maybe a different way to say it is, man, it sure would be nice to have nice, pretty streets with bike lanes and sidewalks and traffic safety and flow management that made everybody happy all of the time, everywhere in the city. That's a pipe dream. So the question is, where are the biggest gaps between how we can make that happen and what we already have? Is that maybe a fair way to say it?
Yeah, that's a fair way to say it, including in saying, where will we extract the most value?
Right.
Look at it from the mayor's seat. I would say, hey, if I had $1 million sitting around right now, where could we have the greatest impact of that $1 million in terms of this? That's what this document would be helpful with, that, as opposed to not having it.
That makes sense. And also, I heard you say you have $1 million laying around, so good to know. Just joking.
I wish.
What is the deal with the agreement over Wayside Park in Skanska? I guess to oversee the repairs and a checklist to make sure that things are done properly. What is this item about?
Yeah, so this item is fairly procedural. This was this has nothing to do with a lawsuit or anything like that. This is $275,000 is what we negotiated, basically for the depreciation of their trucks on our parking lot throughout the process of building the bridge. So we had agreement with them previously that they could park their equipment down there and things like that. And so this is kind of bringing that to closure because we've got some repairs to do. So we had that negotiation with them after they handed it back to us. And, we had a sewer main issue down there going to the Pensacola building.
Got it.
So we've negotiated all that. And so, but really, this is just one piece into the greater conversation about Wayside itself, which is the shines by the graffiti bridge, the train trestle, the boat launch, and really the repair. I mean, Wayside is in disrepair at this point.
Which is still waiting on FEMA, right? We're still waiting on FEMA to move on the Wayside Park stuff?
Technically, yes, but I would say I'm not. And what I mean is we're going to try to figure out, we're working with FDOT. We may have some potential Skanska settlement money or some other form that we're going to try to work with them. Because my argument to FDOT, which they understand, is, look, Wayside Park is our asset, but it also protects the largest asset to date that you have, that seawall, that and how that looks and how that fits in a storm when we have a seawall that's down.
Yeah.
If we were to have a hurricane, I mean, that's going to be greater impact to your $650 million investment next to it. So that's the value argument we're making with them, and they've been very receptive to that. So we're going to but my plan right now is to get the funding necessary to fix the seawall and do a complete rehaul of the boat launch, the new train trestle that we got negotiated with the train company, so you don't have to run under graffiti bridge or bike under graffiti bridge and run for your life, and then along Wayside Park going down to, of course, the foot of the fishing bridge, which, of course, is the county at this point.
When it gets rebuilt. And just for people who might not remember, you correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're talking about the new train trestle stuff, you're talking about putting the walkway, the boardwalk, on the outside, on the water side, so that people can get around the bridge. It's not like we're widening the trestle itself, right? The aperture there.
That's correct.
Wanted to. People might hear you say that, and they're like, "Oh, they're building a new train." No, no, not that. Anyway, we're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Not showing any problems. It looks like I've never taken a look by the bridge. Not showing any issues or by Wayside Park. Taking a look in Milton, Bell Lane, Sterling Way, Cyanamid Road, and Mulot all checking in clear. If you see an accident or a slowdown, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. All right, Mr. Mayor, I've got a question for you that everybody wants to know, and we're all scared to get an answer on. Pelican drop yay, Pelican drop nay?
That's a good question. We had a meeting. It was on my calendar, literally saying a what-if meeting for Pelican drop, and we invited, of course, everybody internally at the city that would have any role in a public works, sanitation, police, fire. Everybody there, several folks, also gracious to have the sheriff's department was there. And of course, and we also even had previous organizers of the Pelican drop that would have good perspective. And ultimately, really, we learned two things through this. It's really expensive and really hard to pull off. Those are the two takeaways if you were sitting in the meeting with us. And we're talking about north of a couple $100,000. And the reality is, even if we were all on board with that, or that money had magically appeared by a sponsorship or something like that, the fact of the matter is these typically start getting organized in March, with previous organizers. So to even attempt to do something starting at this point is really a non-starter. So I wouldn't say there's any decision that we would never do anything, but I would say for this New Year's Eve, we're not going to be having an event, at least unless someone else steps in privately or does, something like that. But look, you also have to ask yourself, I've been on both sides of this. I've owned bars downtown during New Year's Eve. You have to ask yourself, what are you creating the event for? And I'll tell you, if it's for local business, they're busy either way. We are in this great position in the city of Pensacola that we weren't in 20 years ago, which is we don't need to do things necessarily to attract to have a vibrant downtown. We don't need those same calling cards that we needed before to get people down here. So you have to ask yourself, who is the audience? What are you doing? A free event that would take that kind of expense, that kind of manpower on New Year's Eve, 50 police officers potentially. I mean, it's a difficult lift. And so, as I said, I love events like this. I still do. I think they can bring value to our place that we live in, but they got to make sense, and we got to be able to pull them off. And between expense and time, I think it's really a no-go from the city quarterbacking this moving forward.
All right. Well, sad, but I always appreciate that you give an explanation. And sometimes adult decisions don't make everybody happy, but sometimes you have to make them, right? That's what it means to be an adult. So disappointing, but also, I understand where you're coming from. We always like to end on the lightning round, which is the quick questions. The first question, if you weren't running a brewery, weren't reporting on sports, weren't chief of staffing for Quint Studer, and weren't the mayor of Pensacola, what's your job? What's your thing that you'd always liked to do, wanted to do, but you don't do?
Oh, man. Well, I've lived a life where I've gotten to do some, especially sports writing, what I really grew up wanting to do. But before that, before I realized I wouldn't be tall enough, I wanted to be an NBA player. That's what I wanted to do. I mean, not even for the paycheck.
You know? You're closer to it than I am. So. in terms of watching things on screens, are you a TV, which of course, can include, cable or satellite or whatever, like you watch it on a TV screen, basically. Do you stream things? Do you watch what they call user-generated content, TikTok, YouTube, things like that? What's your preference?
Yeah, no, I'm a YouTube kid. I stream cable. Stream cable on the TV. Screen's too small for me on the cell phone. So I try to do it on TV when I can.
I'm with you. I don't understand how people live videos off their phone, but maybe they have bigger phones than I do. I don't know, and I thought I had a pretty big one to begin with. When you buy a small appliance, like, say, a coffee maker or a blender or a can opener, how long do you keep that box?
Too long. When you have a garage, I'm like, just in case I return it, and then, the TV box, that's another one that I've used for a couple of years, even though it just ends up getting in the way.
Well, TV boxes at least can be useful for moving. Of course, we don't expect you to be moving anytime soon. People in radio maybe have that concern a little bit more than people who are sports reporters and mayors and bar
please
owners
don't
and things.
Move.
Yeah, please
right.
don't move. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. We'll look forward to the press conference today and then, of course, the city council meetings next week, sir. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, absolutely. When you pull your Pelican drop permit, just give me a call. We'll get it going for you.
I'll just be funding it out of my surplus radio host money. Thanks so much for the time, sir. 7:52 here on News Radio 92.3 in